Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You're listening to the Qalam podcast. Alhamdulillah, for over a decade, Qalam has had the opportunity and the blessing to serve the community. And after serving the community for an entire decade and benefiting millions of people all around the world, we have reaffirmed our commitment to making Islamic knowledge accessible for all, making sure each and every single person, no matter where they are in the world, they have the ability and the opportunity to learn about the beauty of Islam. So therefore, we are conducting more classes online than ever before, videos, podcasts, recordings, we're making all of it available. We ask you to support us and become our partner in this mission and cause of educating the whole world about the beautiful religion of Islam by going to supportqalam.com. Go to supportqalam.com, make a generous contribution. Inshallah, you are investing into the mission and the cause of teaching people about Islam worldwide. Millions of people have benefited, and we hope that hundreds of millions more will benefit, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Bismillahi walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome back to another session of Tafsir al-Quran, where we go through the meaning of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have been studying from the very beginning of the Mus'haf, Surah Al-Fatiha, and then into Surah Al-Baqarah. Inshallah, today the goal, the objective is to study verses number, ayat number 102 and 103. 102 and 103, inshallah. So as we always do, inshallah, what I will do is I will begin with the recitation of the verses that inshallah we'll be studying. After that, I will share a translation of the verses that have been recited, and then we will further get into discussion about what we can learn and some of the lessons that we can take from these ayat, some of the wisdom that we can achieve and gain from these verses of the Quran. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. واتبعوا ما تتلو الشياطين على ملك سليمان وما كفر سليمان ولكن الشياطين كفروا يعلمون الناس السحر وما أنزل على الملكين ببابل هاروت وماروت وَمَا يُعَلِّمَانِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ حَتَّى يَقُولَا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ فَلَا تَكْفُرْ فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مِنْهُمَا مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ وَمَا هُمْ بِضَارِّينَ بِهِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ ويتعلمون ما يضرهم ولا ينفعهم ولقد علموا لمن اشتراه ما له في الآخرة من خلاق ولبئس ما شروا به أنفسهم لو كانوا يعلمون ولو أنهم آمنوا واتقوا لمثوبة من عند الله خير لو كانوا يعلمون. So we recited verses number 102 and 103. To share with you what one of the translators of the Quran has written about these two verses. For verse number 102, he writes, and followed what, so kind of to refresh your memory, in the previous verse that we had studied, the last verse that we had studied, Allah said, وَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَهُمْ نَبَذَ فَرِيقٌ مِّنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ كَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said in the previous verse that when God sent them a messenger confirming the scriptures that they already had with them, some of those who had received the scripture before threw the book of God over their shoulders as if they had no knowledge. And now in verse number 102, Allah continues and tells us, instead of paying attention to the scripture, the book of Allah, what did they do? And they followed what the evil ones had fabricated about the kingdom of Solomon instead. Not that Solomon was a disbeliever. It was the evil ones who were disbelievers. They taught people witchcraft. And what was revealed in Babylon to the two angels, Harut and Marut. Yet these two never taught anyone without first warning them. We are sent only to tempt. Do not disbelieve. From these two, they learned what they can use to cause discord between man and wife. Although they harm no one with it except by God's leave, they learned what harmed them, not what benefited them, knowing full well that whoever gained this knowledge would lose any share that they had in the hereafter. Evil indeed is the price for which they sold off their souls, if only they understood. And then in verse number 103, the translator writes, if they had believed and had been mindful of God, their reward from him would have been far better, if only they knew. So now let's go ahead and talk about this. So you probably already, within the Arabic, يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السِّحْرِ, right? You hear the word sihr. In the translation, you heard the reference to witchcraft and sorcery, magic or black magic, as it's referred to. So obviously, it should be pretty clear that we're talking about something quite unique here, that these verses are going to be addressing something very specific and very distinct, and that, you know, assessment would be correct. This is the most focused mention of the issue of sorcery and magic present in the entire Quran. There are, of course, multiple references, but a lot of times, you know, it talks about how they would accuse prophets of God. They would say the Prophet ﷺ was hur. They would say that he is, you know, bewitched or entranced. You know, Fir'aun said about Musa alayhi salam that he was mashura, that he had been bewitched or entranced. Or they would accuse them of being, you know, soothsayers or magicians or sorcerers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is not sorcery. This is revelation. So there's a lot of references to, you know, the general idea of magic or witchcraft or sorcery, different places in the Quran, but it's more so a reference to something connected to witchcraft or something connected to sorcery. However, as a very focused and specific discussion on the issue of witchcraft and magic and sorcery, this is the most focused address of it found in the entire Quran. And it goes back historically to when and where and how this really started becoming a problem within society, even though the general idea and the issue of witchcraft and, you know, sorcery and magic and things like that, those ideas were already present before, because we see, of course, at the time of the Prophet Musa alayhi salam, he has that, you know, face off, that showdown against all the magicians, quote unquote, that Fir'aun had gathered from all throughout the land. فَجُمِعَ السَّحَرَةُ, right? That he had gathered them all together. And then, of course, Musa alayhi salam presented to them a miracle of and a demonstration of the might and the power and the glory of Allah. And that, of course, humbled them. And they ended up believing. They ended up becoming believers. They ended up believing in the message of Musa alayhi salam. فَأُلْقِيَ السَّحْرَةُ سَاجِدِينَ قَالُوا أَمَنَّا بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ رَبِّ مُوسَى وَهَارُونَ. That they all fell into prostration. And then they said that we believe in the Lord of the worlds. We believe in the God that Musa, Moses and Aaron, Musa and Harun alayhi salam are calling us to. So that idea was already present there. In the time of Suleiman alayhi salam is after Musa alayhi salam. So nonetheless, this is more of a discussion about when it really became something more problematic, even more widespread in society. Not only that, this is a discussion about when it infected believers and when it creeped into, it made its way into the community of believers, and it actually led to a corruption of the belief of people, where people started attaching religious meaning and religious significance, and they started trying to find ways to incorporate it into their spirituality. So this is the discussion about that. And it goes all the way back to the time of the Prophet Suleiman alayhi salam. So first and foremost, and there's a lot of discussion here that all the Mufassirun have detailed. This is a very complex verse and passage, and the discussion on it is very, very extensive by the scholars of tafsir, by the Mufassirun. However, amongst them, you have Ibn Kathir, Imam al-Qurtubi, Imam al-Razi, rahimahumullahu ta'ala, all have very lengthy, extensive discussions. However, I did come across a very beneficial discussion by a more recent, scholar of the more later era, and that is a scholar by the name of Ashraf Ali Thanawi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, great scholar of the subcontinent in India. And he wrote the tafsir of the Quran called Bayanul Quran. So he does a very good job of summarizing, and I will share some other references with you from Ibn Kathir and Razi and Qurtubi and others, but I felt that the Sheikh there in Bayanul Quran very beautifully summarized a lot of the discussions that are important here. So first and foremost, what is it saying? Like, what exactly is the history that it is referring to? So the first thing to understand is that Bani Israel, the people at that time, who basically would be understood to be the community that later on became the Jewish community, they started becoming fascinated, and there were specifically, the Quran makes reference to shayateen, and that can mean like the jinn, shayateen, devils and satans, shayateen and jinn. That's number one. Number two is that it also makes a reference to bad people, just evil people, people that are engaging in evil practices, evil beliefs, and are making trouble or causing problems and trying to take people away from the deen and the religion and are trying to corrupt people's relationship with Allah. That a mixture and a combination of these things, bad people, evil people, along with jinn, shayateen, things like that, they started popularizing the practice of magic and witchcraft and in the community. And it started spreading there. And it started becoming a real serious problem. So much so that, of course, Suleiman alayhi salam, as a prophet of God, he banned it, forbade it, prohibited it by the command of Allah, and said that this is an act of sin, an act of disbelief. So what they did was, they, in order to make it more popular amongst the people, number one, and number two, also to kind of take that, negative attention away from themselves, to avoid the scrutiny, that the fact that they're engaging in something that has been prohibited by the Prophet of God, what they did was they fabricated all kinds of stories, they fabricated incidents, they made up, false information, created false narratives, where they basically tried to create this and popularize this idea that the Prophet Suleiman, alayhi salam, he himself engaged in sorcery. that he engaged in sorcery. They were trying to create this notion, create this idea. So the very first thing is that you have to know that this is at the, from the time of Sulaiman alayhi salam, that evil people were spreading the practice of black magic in the community. Sulaiman alayhi salam was trying to put a stop to it. Ultimately, especially with his departure from the world, then they started creating false narratives and tried to create this idea that Sulaiman alayhi salam, he himself was a practitioner of black magic. So therefore, how could it be wrong and how could it be evil? If he did it and he told us to do it, so why could it, how could it be wrong? Of course, they made up and fabricated this. So that's the very first thing, is that that's the history, that's the background, that's the backdrop. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they learned this from the devils and satanic, you know, forces that they were inclined towards. They were influenced by satanic forces, number one. Number two, by engaging in these satanic rituals and practices, they themselves left the fold of the religion. They disbelieve in God and they rejected and threw away everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them to believe in. They disregarded the scripture, like the previous verse says. They threw away the scripture, the instruction, the revelation from God, and threw it behind their backs. They didn't care. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, and as far as all these false narratives that they've created about the Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam, then they are exactly that. Those things are all completely false, 100% false. Sulaiman alayhi salam never engaged in this kind of sorcery, and Sulaiman alayhi salam was not a practitioner of black magic. He was a prophet of God, and if any extraordinary events did occur at his time or at his hands, then those are miracles and they are not sorcery, they are not magic. Now somebody could follow up and say, well, what's the difference? What's the difference? How do you distinguish black magic from the miracles of the prophets? So there's quite a few differences that we can point to here. And the scholars have an entire list of things that they say illustrate the difference between these two things. For instance, number one, is that the miracles of the prophets are actually all things that very profoundly connect you back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what they're calling you to. The point and the objective of every miracle is not to get your attention, is to not win your loyalty, to not have you sign up for, you know, some kind of something that the magician is selling, the sorcerer is selling, but rather it is to connect you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even in the objective, even in terms of what is the goal, right? A black person practicing black magic might want to get more power, more money, more wealth, more influence, popularity, fame, whatever it may be. The prophets of God, they present you with miracles. And once they have your attention, what do they say? U'budullaha ma lakum min ilahin ghayruhu. Worship God. There is no one worthy of worship except for him. La as'alukum alayhi ajra. La as'alukum alayhi mala. In ajriya illa ala rabbil alameen. I don't want your money. I don't want your wealth. I don't ask you for any reward. My reward is with God. My reward is with Allah. So that's one of the first and the primary differences. And that pretty much actually makes all the difference in the world. But furthermore, the scholars do highlight a few other things. Number two is that with miracles, there's a clarity. There's no kind of, you know, point to it. There's no kind of cover-up that is occurring there where, you know, they say like a magician doesn't give away his secrets. Prophets, when they did miracles, they said, this is a miracle. This is how things normally should be. This is how they are. How? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed it so. Why right now? Because you are being asked to believe in that Allah. So there's a lot of transparency, a lot of clarity, a lot of honesty, okay? Versus with magic and magicians and sorcery and black magic and things like that, then there's a lot of obscurity. Things are not very clear.
things are not transparent. You don't know why this is happening, how this is happening, and to what ends is it occurring? Like, what is the objective from this? So those are just a few things. And Imam al-Jassas, who is Abu Bakr al-Jassas, who's one of the early scholars of fiqh and even the tafsir of the Quran, he has a beautiful, fascinating book called Ahkam al-Quran al-Jassas, in which he goes through a lot of different passages in the Quran that deal with technicalities, and this is one of the explanations that he provides. الفرق بين معجزات الأنبياء عليهم الصلاة والسلام وبين السحر. So, nonetheless, going back to what we were talking about previously, so as I had mentioned to y'all, that the very first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does is that in these verses, the first thing that we learn is the people at that time became obsessed with magic, and they kept practicing it, kept engaging in it, kept indulging in it. Sulaiman alayhi salam was telling them, this is wrong, this is bad. Especially after Sulaiman alayhi salam left, then they created a whole false narrative saying, well, he did it as well, and he told us to do it, and so on and so forth. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifying, absolving Sulaiman alayhi salam, the Prophet Sulaiman, Solomon, from having engaged in any of this. Allah says he did not practice magic. He did not tell them to do it. He did not commit an act of disbelief. But rather, on the flip side, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they did. They did all of this. They were not supposed to do it. They knew they were not supposed to do it. They still indulged in it, engaged in it. And they ended up committing disbelief as a consequence of that. So that's the first point. The second point is, just in general, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is condemning the practice of black magic and satanic rituals by saying that it is clear disbelief. And that is the opinion of the vast majority of the scholars, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahumullahu ta'ala, and even many of the Shafi'iyya. Imam Shafi'i has a little bit of nuance. He says some forms of it are absolutely disbelief. Other forms of it are major sin, but maybe not disbelief. Nonetheless, the majority of the scholars actually say engaging in these kinds of satanic rituals takes someone outside of the fold of Islam. It is a clear rejection of the belief in Allah. And so it's haram, to say the least. It's kufr. It's actually disbelief. It's tantamount to disbelief. So that is the second point that we get from this, that there is no entertaining of it. There is no indulging in it. There is no tolerance of it theologically, technically, usulan, aqidatan, within our religion. It has no place in our deen, no place in our religion. And it doesn't matter what kind of cloak it may don, right? That there might be somebody who has a very Muslim name. There might be somebody with a big turban and a big beard. There might be somebody who presents a very Islamic and religious facade. It does not matter. If it's engaging with magic, sihr, then it is not allowed in Islam. It has no place in the deen and the religion, and no place in the life of a Muslim. So now, furthermore, kind of going back to the context, the background, the verse very specifically makes a reference to a place. It says Babel. It refers to Babel, which basically is, we know it as Babylon. So it's talking about Babylon in ancient Iraq. And there in Babylon, which was the seat, which was a place of faith and belief, right? That entire region of the world, Iraq and, you know, the southern parts of Turkey and that part of the world is a very ancient part of the world. And it has a very long history and long tradition with faith and belief. I mean, even at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Islam reached there. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu went and clearly established Islam there. And many ancient prophets of God passed through there and crossed through there and were from there. So it makes a reference to that place. And it says that in Babylon at that time, this obsession with black magic and satanic rituals had become very rampant. It was an obsession. And people's faith had become corrupted. And people were very, very confused. Where, unfortunately, some bad, corrupt, evil people had essentially blurred completely the lines between faith and belief and sorcery and magic and satanic ritual. They had kind of blended it all together and used that to confuse the people and misguide the people. So, and what started happening was that magic and satanic ritual started becoming mistaken for spirituality. And magicians and soothsayers and charlatans started being venerated as men of God, as holy men. And this was the chaos that was occurring there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that in order to eradicate this misunderstanding, in order to correct the issue, and also to clearly, there were two objectives here. Listen very carefully. Number one is to eradicate all of this, to fix all of this. That's going to require education. People need to know what is right and what is right and what is wrong. People need to know that. Number two, the second objective is that also as kind of a judgment from Allah, and may Allah protect us all, may Allah always keep us safe from the harsh judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that as a judgment from God, as in a judgment from Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also wanted to very clearly delineate, distinguish the good from the bad. That whose hearts are completely corrupted and who are just maybe good yet simple people who have become confused. So these were the two objectives. How do you fix the issue? Well, that requires some kind of education. And number two is, let's just clearly separate between the good and the bad, the sincere and the not so sincere. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent two angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down two angels, Harut and Marut. Harut and Marut. Now these two angels, Harut and Marut, all right, as the Quran tells us, there's another interpretation, a weaker recitation that says Malikaini, that they were two kings, that maybe they were two princes, but the dominant majority says Malakain, they were two angels. Now from here, there's a difference of interpretation because the language of the verses can be interpreted differently. One interpretation is that these two angels came down with a warning from God, just simply saying, stop practicing this black magic, stop engaging in these satanic rituals, or else the wrath of God will come on you. But the people kept on practicing their corrupt practices, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and that's ultimately what doomed them in the life of the hereafter. That is what will doom them. That's one interpretation. The other interpretation is that two angels came down, sent by Allah, Harut and Marut. Allah gave them knowledge of these rituals, these practices, sorcery, black magic, satanic rituals. Allah gave them the information on it. They came to the people and they said, allow us to educate you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rather one of the scholars of Tafsir, Az-Zamakhshari, he actually comments on this particular issue, and he says that there is, he references a poem. He says, عَرَفْتَ الشَّرَّ لَا لِلشَّرِّ لَكِنْ لِتَوَقِّيهِ وَمَنْ لَا يَعْرِفُ الشَّرَّ مِنَ النَّاسِ يَقَعُ فِيهِ. He quotes this poem and he says that عَرَفْتُ الشَّرَّ, he says that I learned about evil, لَا لِلشَّرِّ, not to engage in evil, لَكِنْ لِتَوَقِّيهِ, rather to avoid evil. وَمَنْ لَا يَعْرِفُ الشَّرَّ مِنَ النَّاسِ يَقَعُ فِيهِ. And who he who does not learn to recognize wrong and evil, he who does not learn to recognize wrong and evil falls into it, falls victim to it, falls prey to it. So from the point of view of educating people about what is wrong and what is bad and what is problematic, that these two angels came down and said that black magic, sorcery, satanic rituals, these are wrong, these are bad, these are haram, do not engage in it. Some people said, well, how do we know what is right and what is wrong? So they said, we can tell you, we can explain to you, we can educate you on the matter to recognize good and recognize bad. But they took an oath from the people. They said, listen, do not indulge in it. We'll point it out to you. We'll teach you how to identify it, but don't become enticed by it. Don't become enticed by it. And some people did keep their word. Unfortunately, some people ultimately ended up becoming enticed by it and falling into the practice of it. Now, one could say, well, effectively, what that means is that angels came and taught satanic rituals to people and then people did them. No. Angels came down to instruct people, good and bad. Stay in the good, don't go in the bad. If the people then still go into the bad, then that's on the people, not on the angels. I teach my son how to drive a car, and I tell him, okay, slow down, stop here, right? We're going 60, 65 miles per hour, 70 miles per hour, and I say, all right, now, stay here. Keep it right here. Don't go faster than this. If you press the pedal down further, it will go faster. It'll go to 90, it'll go to 100, but don't do that. That's dangerous. That's bad. You could hurt yourself. You could hurt other people. Now, if when he drives the car, after all the warning I've given him, and I have to tell him that if you do press the pedal down further, what happens? Don't worry about it. I have to tell him. You press the pedal down further and you'll be speeding and driving recklessly. But then if he ignores and does not heed my advice, that's on him, not on me. So similarly here, they told the people right and wrong, and then the people became enticed by what was wrong. That's on the people, not on the angels. But the second benefit, remember the second benefit. The second benefit was to delineate, to distinguish, to separate between the good and the bad. And that's exactly what ended up happening. People who listened, good. People who became enticed by evil, they made it clear where they stood, that they were bad. They made that very, very clear. They engage in kufr, disbelief. Sin of one of the, you know, worst kinds of sin. And so that's the understanding of these angels coming. Now there's a follow-up question that, why didn't God send prophets? Why would prophets not give this instruction? Why angels? That's a little bit confusing. Why angels? So there's a very simple understanding for this, that the Quran also tells us about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a very eloquent person in his speech. He did not read and write. Ummi. Right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was unlettered. مَا كُنْتَ تَتْلُو مِنْ كِتَابٍ وَلَا تَخُطُّهُ بِيَمِينِكَ إِذَا لَرْتَابِ الْمُطِلُونَ. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not read and write, but he was a very eloquent person in speech. أُوتِيتُ بِجَوَامِعِ الْكَلِمِ. So the Prophet ﷺ a couple of times commented on some poetry that he said, this is quite beautiful. أَلَا وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ مَا خَلَى اللَّهُ بَاطِلُ. Right, that the Prophet ﷺ commented on the a poem of Labid, saying that it's very beautiful, where he said, everything other than God is in vain. Everything other than God is in vain. God is the only truth. And when the Sahaba were reciting the poetry that نَحْنُ الَّذِينَ بَايَعُوا مُحَمَّدًا عَلَى الْجِهَادِ مَا بَقِينَا أَبَدًا وَثَبِّتِ الْأَقْدَامَ إِنْ لَاقِينَا فَإِذَا أَرَادُوا فِتْنَةً أَبَيْنَا, that they were saying the poetry, we are the ones who have given the oath of allegiance to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we will continue to defend what we believe in till our very last days. And they say, they made dua, they said, oh Allah, if we end up meeting the enemy, then make our feet firm. And when they want to try to take us away from our beliefs, we refuse, we refuse. And when they said, Abayna, we refuse to be led away from our beliefs, the Prophet ﷺ heard this and he said, Abayna, Abayna, we refuse, we refuse. So the Prophet ﷺ appreciated eloquence in poetry. He asked Hassan bin Thabit, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a very eloquent companion who was a poet, one of the most masterful poets in Arab history. He would have him recite poetry in the masjid. And the Prophet ﷺ even said that, you know, Allah sends the angel Jibreel, Gabriel, to come and support him. So the Prophet ﷺ appreciated poetry. But what does the Quran say? وَمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ شِعْرًا وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ. We did not teach him poetry because it is not appropriate for him. It is not appropriate for him. And it is not appropriate for poetry to come from him. Because he delivers the Quran to you, the word of God, revelation to you. And then if poetry also comes from him, then people will become confused. So it made sense that prophets would not be sent to give the finer details of something like this. And we actually do have it in the Quran, that there are some tasks that ultimately are decreed by Allah, but they have a very complicated nature to them, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends angels to perform tasks like this. Like when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would want nations destroyed, when Allah would deem that it was time for the destruction of a nation, of a people, Allah would send the angels with the destruction, not the prophets. He would tell the prophets to depart from that place, and then the angels would come with the adab, with the punishment, with the doom and the destruction. So that is essentially the major discussion points about the verses that we are covering today. So now with that being said, inshallah, what I'm going to go ahead and do is go ahead and read through the verse, kind of go through it line by line, and then inshallah see if there's anything else that we can discuss that we need to discuss here in this particular verse. All right, so we'll start at the beginning of the ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُوا الشَّيَاطِينُ عَلَى مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, and they followed what the devils, what the Satans had taught to them at the time of the kingdom of Sulaiman alayhi salam. وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانُ وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then absolves the Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam from any kind of wrongdoing by saying that the Prophet Sulaiman did not engage in any disbelief. وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا. Rather, it was the shayateen, it was these satanic people, or even demons that had disbelieved. يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السِّحْرَ, that they were popularizing black magic and sorcery and satanic rituals amongst the people. وَمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى الْمَلَكَيْنِ بِبَابِلَ هَارُوتَ وَمَارُوتَ. Now, this is where we have the dual interpretation that I was explaining to y'all. One way to translate it is مَا نَافِيَة, that the ma is for negation. وَمَا أُنزِلَ, God did not send down satanic ritual upon the two angels at the place of Babylon, Harut and Marut. Allah did not send them satanic rituals, right? Rather, people just, you know, وَمَا يُعَلِّمَنِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ, they didn't teach satanic ritual to anyone. حَتَّى يَقُولَ إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ فَلَا تَكْفُرُ, they just kept saying that we are here to warn you. Don't disbelieve in God by engaging in satanic rituals. That's one interpretation, one translation. The other translation is if the ma is what we call ma mosula, and that which was sent down upon the two angels at the place of Babylon, Harut and Marut, was the details of these satanic rituals. The details of these satanic rituals was sent down to these two angels, Harut and Marut, at the place of Babylon. And what they taught the people, meaning awareness, understanding of these satanic rituals, what's right, what's wrong, stay away from them, don't engage in these kinds of things. When you see people doing X, Y, and Z, then run, get away from there, so on and so forth. حَتَّى يَقُولَ, but they always told them, إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ, that look, this is very tricky stuff. This is like playing with fire. فَلَا تَكْفُرْ, don't fall into it. Don't be enticed by it. Don't engage with it. But Allah says, فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مِنْهُمَا. But unfortunately, a lot of the people whom the angels were trying to, educate on what was wrong, what they should stay away from, unfortunately, a lot of the people took that information, and what did they do? They used it to an evil end. They used it as a means for evil. مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ, by trying to cause divisions between families, between spouses, between in marriages, cause fractions and fracturing marriages, causing problems amongst family members and married folk. Okay? So this tells you, what's the purpose of mentioning this specifically? Number one, because it's a clear form of evil. It's a clear form of evil. Causing divisions amongst a family and loved ones and family members and people of a household, that is clear evil. Very, very evil. Number one. Number two is that it specifically tells you about how sacred family relations are, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it as something that was violated, and that the violation of it clearly demonstrated how corrupt these people had become. Family is sacred. Cherish your own family. Cherish your own family relations. And never, ever, ever cause complications in somebody else's marriage. Never, ever be the source of trouble in somebody else's family, somebody else's home. Never. And then thirdly, it also, specifically amongst family relations, you see that it talks about between a husband and a wife. That marriage is something that is precarious, it's very delicate, where just the slightest bit of interference can cause a lot of disruption and harm. And at the same time, once again, it's something that is very sacred, because this is a bond that is created between two people, as dictated, as laid out to us in the Quran and in the Sunnah and the tradition of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala goes on to say, وَمَا هُمْ بِضَارِّينَ بِهِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, that they were not harming, it's not like they could deliberately go out, it's not like they could decide to harm someone, except and only if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed it. Now this goes back to the question, why would Allah allow for anyone to be harmed? Then that's a question of evil. And it depends on how you look at it. I've always felt it as a very simple answer, because it's very straightforward. I understand it can be more complicated to process it, but it's a pretty straightforward answer. And that is that whatever somebody sees or interprets or understands as evil, is temporary or due to the limited vision and scope that the person has, that they don't ultimately see the long term, the eternal good that could come from this. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مَا يَضُرُّهُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ. They were supposed to go to these angels to educate themselves so that they could benefit their souls. They went there, they took what they got from the angels, and they turned around and harmed themselves with it. They harmed their own souls. They damned and doomed their own souls with what they got from these angels instead of benefiting themselves. And that, again, there's a profound lesson and realization here. That even what seems like quote-unquote religious knowledge, if it is not approached with the right intent, with the correct methodology, with the correct end goals and objectives, with the proper end goals and objectives, if it is not approached properly, then in that case and instance, it can actually become something that will cause a lot of harm and do a lot of damage. And then Allah says, وَلَقَدْ عَلِمُوا لَمَنِ اشْتَرَاهُ مَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. And the next point here is that there's a difference between knowing something and truly understanding something. Knowing something up here, like math, versus believing something here. There's a difference between the two. They knew that, okay, yeah, we're not supposed to do this. It's not good. We've been told not to do it. But it wasn't in their hearts. So they were not inclined to obey it and follow it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they knew. They knew, like information, that whosoever will make this trade will sell their soul for the influence, the power, the whatever financial, social, political gain there is by engaging in this black magic. They knew. They knew the math in their heads that he who will sell his soul for these worldly gains, مَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ, that person will have nothing to look forward to in the life of the hereafter. وَلَبِئْسَ مَا شَرَوْا بِهِ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, most terrible is what they were willing to sell their souls for. That they, can you imagine somebody selling their soul for all of eternity in exchange for a few extra dollars? A little bit of extra influence in this life? لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. If only they understood, they really, really understood. Not just knew it, like information, like math, like directions, but they believed in it. They understood it deeply. And then in verse number 103, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا. Had they truly actually believed, وَاتَّقَوْا. And there's the secret. And then had God consciousness. Then they had been consistent. And then they would have been steadfast. Then they would have really believed. And they would have followed and lived and acted on the guidance that they had. لَمَثُوبَةٌ مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ. The reward, the great reward, مَثُوبَة. Thawab means reward, مَثُوبَة, like huge, unimaginable reward that they would have gotten from Allah. خَيْرٌ. That would have been so much better. لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. If only they knew. Like if only they knew what awaited for them in the life of the hereafter, had they made the correct choice, then who knows? Maybe they would have chosen differently. But a person has to want to learn what awaits them in the hereafter. They have to try to believe in it, understand it, reflect on it, think on it. And that, unfortunately, was something that they were not willing to do. Now, again, how does all of this connect to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been telling us? You know, in the previous verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was saying that, look, a lot of these communities who are the descendants of those people, like the followers of Musa alayhi salam, Bani Israel, the people of the book, Ahlul Kitab, the Christian Jewish communities, that they chose. They, first of all, they obscured and they distorted and twisted and ignored and neglected so much of their own scripture. And then they were rejecting what the Prophet ﷺ brought and what he came with. And instead of turning to scripture, instead of coming back to the truth, they rather engage in with these kinds of things. Falsehoods, lies, fabrications, satanic, demonic practices and rituals, that they would rather go and engage with something like that. And that is quite tragic, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. In conclusion for today's session, we've talked about some of the more main items. I did not want to get into a more sensational kind of conversation about black magic and the community and things like that. I did not want to, somebody saying that it's Maghrib time. Our Maghrib here in Dallas is in about a few more minutes. I have about 5 more minutes, so inshallah we'll be ending in the next 5 minutes. So as I was saying that, I did not want to get into a more sensational discussion and conversation about magic and the community and people, what they do. And so I didn't want to get into that. There's plenty of other places where you can find more sensationalist discussions like that. That's not really what I do. I wanted to talk about it from the point of view of this verse and talk about it from a more textual point of view and perspective. But nonetheless, the Prophet ﷺ used the word sihr even very figuratively. There's a beautiful hadith in the Muwatta of Imam Malik and in the Sunan of Imam Abu Dawood from Buraida radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Inna min al-bayani la sihra," that some people, they are so effective in their speech, it's as if they are entrancing you. Figurative, not literal, figurative. وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ جَهْلًا. The Prophet ﷺ says some people, they're very knowledgeable, but sometimes in spite of being knowledgeable, they behave very ignorantly. وَإِنَّ مِنَ الشِّعْرِ حِكْمًا. That sometimes in poetry, there's great wisdom. وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ عَيَالًا. And some types of speech does nothing but burden your listener. It just causes more grief to the people that you're speaking to. And lastly and finally, this topic and this discussion overall of magic and things like that, it causes a lot of confusion and distress in the community. So I did want to conclude with just a couple of things. Number one, understand and know for a fact that as the Prophet ﷺ taught Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوِ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدَ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ وَلَوِ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَضُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَضُرُّوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدَ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ. That if all of humanity, the whole world got together and tried to benefit you, tried to give you something, they could not do so unless God willed so. And if all of humanity, the whole world got together and tried to harm you, they could not do so unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed it. So ultimately know that only what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destined can come to you. So living in a state of paranoia is not a healthy thing. Secondly, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us that there are some things that we can particularly do in order to, put ourselves in the good graces of Allah, as they say, and to be protected by Allah, to have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala envelop us in His safety, in His protection, in His mercy. And there are many, many things the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us. One thing that I'll mention very specifically is that there's a narration. There's many variations of this narration, but this particular version I'm going to share with you is found in the Muwatta of Imam Malik in the chapter of At-Ta'awudh Inda An-Nawm, how to seek the protection of God when you go to sleep at night, where the Prophet ﷺ teaches us to say, أعوذ بالله العظيم الَّذِي لَيْسَ بِشَيْءٍ أَعْظَمْ مِنْهُ. That I take refuge with Allah, the Almighty, and there is nothing that is more mightier than Him. وَبِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ التَّامَّاتِ الَّتِي لَا يُجَاوِزُهُنَّ بِرٌ وَلَا فَاجِرٌ. And I take the protection with the words of God that are complete, that no good or bad sinful person can transgress against the words of God. وَبِأَسْمَاءِ اللَّهِ الْحُسْنَى كُلِّهَا. And I take protection in all the beautiful names of Allah. مَا عَلِمْتُ مِنْهَا وَمَا لَمْ أَعْلَمْ. What I know and what I do not know from those names. مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقَ وَبَرِئَ وَذَرَأَ. And I take protection with Allah from the evil of what He has created, what He has allowed to exist, and what He has allowed to spread. What He has spread. So there are many different, the mu'awwadhatain, something even more simple. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Recited morning and evening. Ayatul Kursi, Allahu la ilaha illahu al-hayyul qayyum. Recite after every prayer. Recite at night before you go to bed. And if we do that, we are in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you need not worry about anything else. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us an understanding of the Qur'an. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the people of the Qur'an. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to always remain connected with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be protected by way of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakum Allah khairan. With that, inshaAllah, we conclude today's session. Barakallahu feekum. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdik. Nashhadu wa la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. So, inshaAllah, as we do every week, if there are any questions that anyone has, inshallah, I can't really guarantee I'll answer them, but I can try. All right, so just have a few minutes because we need to go for Salatul Maghrib. But just for 2 minutes, inshallah, if anyone's got any kind of questions, then we can take the questions, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. Okay. This is my kind of day. No questions. Excellent. All right, everyone. Allahu Akbar. MashaAllah. Someone said they just got done praying Fajr where they're at. Why won't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroy sihr instead of people getting attacked? I'm not sure if I fully understand the question, but I'm assuming once again it's a question about just why does something like that even exist. So understand that it is a test. Life is a test, right? The hereafter is Darus Salam, the place of peace and tranquility and safety and well-being and, you know, everything we'd ever want. In this world, there are many tests. Someone saying, please, can you list where we can find the du'as? There's a beautiful resource, very short, concise. It's been translated into many, many languages. And it's called The Fortress of the Muslim, or the Believer, either way. But Hisn Muslim. So I would recommend that you look that up, and inshallah, you will find that resource to be very beneficial. All right, barakallahu feekum. Someone said, "How are you?" I am doing great, alhamdulillah. Thank you very much for asking. All right, everyone, Inshallah, I'm going to get going to pray Salatul Maghrib. Jazakumullah khairan, as always. And again, salam to all the brothers and sisters out there. Hope everyone is safe, everyone is good, everyone is okay. And then particularly our community in South Lake. Hopefully y'all are doing well. Alhamdulillah, we had got to pray Eid Salah together, outdoors, socially distanced. Don't worry, everyone. Everyone had a mask on, but it was very nice. Alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to congregate soon, once again, for even, you know, praying daily prayers and engaging in the study of the Quran, inshallah. All right. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.